Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We've already brought sexy back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Yo.
And Pete Donaldson.
He's got a third nipple.
What a weekend, eh?
Mm.
Gareth Southgate at the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Waitangi Day celebrations. The Spice Girls announcing that they're going to reunite.
They don't have the power to do that.
And today is apparently Nutella Day. International Nutella Day, Jim Campbell just told
World
me.
Nutella Day.
World Nutella Day. World Nutella Day.
There's the Philadelphia Eagles who've just won the Super Bowl.
Bring Philadelphia into it.
I've got not to be confused with Nutella. They've got a player called Jay Ajayi who was born in London, so maybe Southgate's trying to tap him up for a bit of pace.
He's an Arsenal fan, isn't he?
Arsenal fan. I know that because I once interviewed him.
Did you really? Okay.
Yeah, he likes to drink. I don't know if he still does, but he certainly liked to drink the juice inside a jar of pickles on the sideline. That was his thing for a while.
Oh, he must stink. Depends. Who wants to get close to him?
Depends if he chews gum.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I've seen you drink, Donaldson, you're in no position for commentary.
I will put anything in my mouth.
I quite enjoyed Southgate being there going, so what's happening?
What's going on?
How do you make those guys win? Because I plan to do something similar.
I don't want him watching other sports. I don't think that should be allowed.
No, he shouldn't be confusing
himself. He'll get confused, yeah.
He might learn something that we do not want that.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. Oh, there we are. But one thing was for certain on the weekend. There were a lot of very good goals scored.
There certainly were.
There was. We
were treated to many great goals, and we'll move straight on to the game with one of the most epic finishes we've seen in a while. Of course, at Anfield, Liverpool 2, Spurs 2. And, well, talking of the great goals, Victor Wanyama. Oh,
I'm pleased you've started with that, because I was, and you've completely disarmed me. Because I was going to come into this today saying the great things we remember about the Premier League over the years are things like that.
Yes.
And the thing that sort of depressed me a little bit over the last 24 hours or so has been just how much people want to talk about refereeing decisions. Mm. And it's been a bit of a hallmark of the last few months, if not the entire season, where the refereeing standard's been poor, and of course VAR's coming along, and everyone just wants to talk about refereeing decisions. Mm. And it made me a bit sad. And I thought about, remember that goal that Tony Yeboah scored, one of the greatest Premier League goals ever, or the great Bergkamp hat-trick, or whatever it may be, or the great Bergkamp goal against Newcastle, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what we remember. That's the beauty. And that Wanyama goal was just so good to watch. It just completely reminds you instantly of exactly why you love watching football.
The way he hits that is just so, he unleashes it. He doesn't shoot. No. He unleashes it.
He released a couple of promotional trailers earlier in the year, and then he unleashed it. And speaking of the analysis sort of paralysis I'm talking about specifically to refereeing decisions, it made me a little bit sad that on Match of the Day too, when they're talking about, oh, did Karius make a mistake? It's like, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes goals are great. And not every single goal has to be down to a mistake.
Well, completely. If the goalkeeper has beaten away the danger, and some people say it wasn't. Oh, with Loro, who was back on Match of the Day too.
Yeah, but what was he doing in that three-piece suit?
He was dressed really like a sort of a provincial vet.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. That also solves crime.
Not very well.
He has a go. He has a go at solving crime.
I thought he looked quite nice, and I don't usually rate that man's
He looked like a provincial vet who goes around pointing out other people's mistakes.
Were you fitting the wrong thing?
But don't give him chocolate.
He did the brilliant thing about foreign goalkeepers punching the ball, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
There's been a lot of flapping recently.
That is such like a 2002.
It's a David James. Who told David James that he'd do that?
Yeah.
He's been talking to a foreigner. Johnny Foreigner.
But, you're right when people talk about, oh, was it Karius's mistake? Well, if the ball has been cleared to the point that it's dropped, I don't know, was it about 30 yards out to a player who has to textbook half volley it straight to the top corner?
Through a crowd of players.
So basically,
I didn't realize,
you've got to hold your hands up.
I didn't realise you were talking about the moment before the Wanyama.
Oh, no, that was how ridiculous it is.
He stopped a header at the far post, didn't he?
Should have held it. Joe Hart would have held that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Gordon
then
Banks would have had that.
Stupid later on.
It's just Lawrence, isn't it? Like, you can imagine like when the atom was first split. Lawrence just walked into the lab going, who left those atoms lying around?
Yeah.
One of them's going to get split if you carry on like that.
I'd have cut that into quarters myself.
The problem is the foreigners, they always split it.
Lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we are. But
it was a fantastic goal.
It was an absolute peach. And Pochettino's reaction on the sideline was testament to that. Now, he said in his book, or, you know, the book written about him recently, that he doesn't like to show too much emotion on the sideline because it could affect his players. You know, he wants his players to keep
calm. Does Jurgen Klopp do that?
You're going to old Klopp in a minute.
Klopp's like, it's not even a celebration unless I've broken my glasses.
if I am 10 feet from this dugout after the goal's gone in, then it's not a celebration.
Yeah. Klopp, when he celebrates, he looks like he's fighting invisible adversaries, doesn't
he? Yeah, that's
like beating off ninjas.
That's a very good point. But Pochettino's reaction when that Wanyama goal went in was testament to what a goal it was and how it came out of nowhere, because it was quite an emotional or impassioned celebration for Pochettino, and he was quite lively actually on the touchline, and I think that was it, wasn't it? The way the game ended, the game had been, you know, it had been a fairly decent game. Spurs were probably largely on top in the second half and deserved their equaliser, but, you know, not many goals scored, and then all hell broke loose in the last sort of 5-10 minutes or whatever.
And I think that's right, and I think there's an, without getting too sort of sober in the analysis, because we probably had enough of that already, not on this show, but is that there's an element that Liverpool maybe, I feel that Liverpool, they play one way and mm-hmm. really one way only. And that's not a criticism, and they're very good at it. But I feel that like they're a bit buffeted around by the winds. They can only play in a sort of certain way, and I wonder how much in control they actually are at any point. Whereas I think Spurs are much better at controlling the game, and they've also developed a bit of a plan B as well. I mean, they've beaten good Champions League opposition this season with quite a low level of possession, mm-hmm. maybe compared to how you would imagine them as a team in the past. So
they kept the ball well against Liverpool.
Very much
and,
so.
And it's funny, yeah. Klopp said that the only team that changed their style against Liverpool is Manchester City. But which is sort of a little bit of a dig to some of the other sides, I think. But with
Spurs, can you think of another way Liverpool can play, though?
Because not particularly.
Yeah. They're a massive reflection of their manager.
Yeah.
They're the most emotionally led team in the Premier League.
It's all on front foot.
Yeah, and Klopp is the most emotionally led manager in the Premier League. It's interesting how much of a reflection they are.
Well, and we have to move on to the refereeing decisions, of course. And there lies your point with Klopp, very impassioned. Now, it was so funny because Klopp didn't think Spurs should have been given two penalties. Pochettino did. That's what we expect. I did quite like his reaction when he was saying, well, referees don't get any praise when they make the right decision. So I think we should give him praise. He was really making sure that the referees got the praise for making the right decision.
The referees have had a terrible season, but I think... Do you reckon like the league just went, look, can you just be just dreadful this year? So because the VAR lobby is so big.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because it's gonna happen, but it needs to happen in a big way. And so you guys
InfoWars.
Yeah. Mate, I've gone full Sean Hannity.
You never go full InfoWars. Yeah. Oh. Go half.
Pete's Newswire.
Oh, all of a sudden Pete's Twitter's been deleted. Because the regime don't like it, man. I don't think that probably is the case, Pete. You'll be surprised to know. But I agree that they've been largely very, very poor this season.
And it will serve the Premier League's VIR lobby well.
VIR.
You're talking about conspiracy theories now.
Video injury ref.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I thought you had a good idea for how to improve this last week,
that's
Pete.
Doubtful.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's looking at Pete when he says
Hear him out through my mouth.
My neck hurts. I was looking somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, Pete, you said off air the other day, maybe it would be a good idea to dope referees. So that like they're all like... Or like roided up. Good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
No further questions. I'll stick to my original point.
But when you said dope, that makes it sound a bit sleepy. I mean, like the waking
really
up drugs.
Them up.
Yeah. So they're on it.
Faster than the
focused,
players.
Focused.
I don't have a problem with any
of that.
No, sorry. Let the record be known that I do have a problem with all of that. But moving it along, the refereeing decisions around the two penalties. Although we've had a pop at Lawrence and Match of the Day too, I suppose, already on this show today, I thought they did a good job of explaining the first one quite well.
Yeah.
But Lawrence came across as quite petulant, as came across as a bit like, oh, your dad knows best type thing, saying the law should change. I actually agree with that as well. I think the offside law, especially when thought about in the context of VAR coming in, now really isn't fit for purpose. Mm. They need to go back to simplifying it massively and making it more about daylight between the attacker and the defender. Yeah.
And that will only help the technology. You could have an automated piece of software that detects that.
And so that was explained already, so we probably don't need to get into the weeds of that because it's probably a bit dull, but... the second penalty, for me, I don't know what...
I can't believe that's a controversial decision.
No, it's not.
It's so obvious. And Van Dijk was saying, well, he's just got across me. And some of the others who were saying it wasn't a penalty saying, well, it's, you know, he hasn't meant to do it. He's, Lamella's got across him. He's just had a swing. He's fouled. He's kicked him.
Van Dijk...
He may not have meant that, but it's such a clear penalty.
We see it happen a
Brilliant
lot.
Decision from the lino.
Van Dijk doesn't even know he's there, does he? Look at Van Dijk's face. He's looking completely the other way. He's thinking, I'm just going to put my boot through his and get rid of it.
Yeah.
And Lamella's very, very quick wit. It gets in there. Lamella hits the ground like a ton of bricks, but as I was saying to Jim earlier before we came on, players do that all the time. Mm. And if Liverpool fans want to complain about that, I suggest they complain as well, in turn, about the VAR penalty they were awarded when Salah hit the ground like a ton of bricks through minimal contact, and that was overturned and awarded as a penalty. Mm. So players hit the ground all the time.
Yeah.
That's a definite foul. If someone did that on the halfway line, the old cliche goes, it's a foul all day.
Yeah.
You cannot question that, in my view.
Talking about questioning the referee, the way that Salah, in the middle of his goal, asked for, I think it was a handball, was it? A handball or a foul?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
He's
so quick in the same movement, managed to take it round two places. Well,
you're not going
to
get me out, well, I'll just score there.
that goal, I mean, Ian Wright said a couple of weeks ago on Match of the Day that Mo Salah reminds me a little bit of Messi. Obviously not in sort of,
close control.
I think that's right, Jim.
He manages to keep hold of the ball without using any brute strength at all, which is rare for the Premier League.
But he's so direct and so positive and quite wiry and can sort of wriggle through things. And Ian Wright might be sort of, like, you know, mocked a little bit for saying that. But obviously we're not saying he's going to go on and score a billion goals every season. But like, they are comparable players. And there aren't many players out there that you can compare to Messi.
I would pay so much money to watch that lad every week. He's so good.
Similar in style, for sure. Mm. I don't think... That's the point, isn't it? It's a comparison. You can qualify the comparison however you want, but they're the same type of player.
Completely.
Messi just happens to be quite a lot better. But Salah's a great player to watch.
He's having a phenomenal season, isn't he? Mm. I did enjoy... Yeah, going back to the referees, the chat that we heard between the referees. But what I enjoyed the most about it was when they were discussing, well, did he touch the ball? If these chats happen every week with referees. Yeah. We just happened to have heard that one.
Yeah.
But I quite liked John Moss when he went, do you know if he touched it? Well, we're not sure. And he went, well, I'm giving the penalty. And I love the fact that the referee stuck to his original decision because he thought it was a penalty. In among such a cauldron like that, you know, you're given a penalty against the home side with all the fans and so on and so forth. So I just thought it was fair play for sticking with that.
The little Lionel fist bump. Yeah.
Yeah, he did it at the end, fist didn't bump, he? Yeah. Did you turn that into a meme?
What? I'll put something on Twitter about it.
Stop turning everything into a meme.
No, let him. What I want.
He likes doing his own memes.
I'm the meme master.
You are. You're the meme master general. When we send memes to you on WhatsApp, you get annoyed because you've already seen them. Like, and that's why you're developing your own.
Not even like by a week. It's like months.
Oh, come on. All your memes are belong to us. Think about that.
I sent Pete Charlie Bit My Finger back in 2015. Very early on.
It's fair to say old Kloppy can be a little bit petulant when things don't go
his way. I think he gets away with murder.
Well, did you hear what he said after the game? He said, if I say what I think, I'll pay the biggest fine in world football. What's that mean?
What is he about to say?
What is he going to say then?
It makes me think I want him to do it.
Yeah.
Unleash this truth. I'm going to chop up a referee with a saw.
Gun.
With a Tommy gun.
He gets away with it. But if you look at some of the... I tried to find it earlier and I couldn't find it. And I promise you I didn't make it up. Someone did a collage of the things, the newspaper headlines, covering what Klopp had blamed defeats on. And given that he's not really got a reputation for being mad in that way,
There's no klopplies.com website.
There should be. Because he gets away with murder, in my view. I think he's so emotionally led, and I think because he does it with a smile and he's quite cool in quotes, and obviously German, and he's managed in Champions League finals.
I see a lot of him and me, really. Anyways.
Especially the Champions League finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Glasses.
Tall.
Yeah. Mental.
Where are you going with this one, Dante? Because I was going to make a serious point there.
Well, you occasionally criticise me for being too emotionally led.
You are very emotionally led, actually. Yeah. But that's partly what I like about you. Mm. You've got a lot of love to give. And so is Klopp. Mm. But when he's on the wrong end of it, he goes way over the top. And I think he gets away with a lot more than he should because he's a progressive, in quotes, sort of German forward-thinking manager.
I agree with that. We're going to mention Harry Kane, 100 goals.
Fantastic. Yeah. Terrible first penalty, though.
I don't know, actually. I think Karius maybe deserves a bit of credit for that.
I think so.
Because so often you're told, just smash it down the middle, and that's an effective way to score a penalty.
I think
Karius stood up well.
Well, I spoke earlier in the season when Wayne Rooney took a similar penalty and it went in. Is when a player runs up to take a penalty and he looks as though he's going to place it, hits it with the inside of the foot, but hits it fairly firmly, but goes down the middle. Because normally people would put their laces through if they're going to go down the middle. If you open your foot like that, you think, well, he's going to go one way or the other, but actually to put it down the middle firmly hit is usually quite a good thing. Keeper dives either way, but I think you're right, Jim. I think the goalkeeper takes a lot of credit for standing there and making the saves, but a lot of balls on Kane to go up and take the second one and calm himself that way.
And I think, Marcus, your analysis of penalty taking is very interesting to me. I think you do it very well.
Oh, thank you.
But you, in this parish, we have always been a fan of that if the penalty is missed, it's a poor penalty. So you have to at least acknowledge that. If it doesn't go in, it's by definition a poor penalty.
No, but there can be a good save, though.
Yeah, but it still means there's no excuse to give the keeper a chance to save it.
Where do you stand on the Carl Darlow? I know you're watching that match, Luke, where he sort of saved the penalty.
Well, no, he didn't save it.
Sorry,
let me ask it. If you don't mind, Marcus.
Yeah, please.
Is this going to end you going, did the ball go in or not?
I'm delighted to say the question was pointed at me, Marcus. So I've got the honour on this occasion. Peter, just to answer your question, the ball went in the back of the net, mate. Yeah. So
well, that's all we've got. So
there we are.
Just going to go to a break now.
He was very unlucky.
He was very unlucky. We have to move on, though. We do have to move on. And we're going to go to Brighton. They look great against West Ham. Mm. And another great goal was scored. Izquierdo with a beauty.
It reminded me, let me have this. Please, if you're gonna pick me up together, because it'll take three of you, and chuck me out of the room, please do so.
But it's world Luke Moore day today.
I'm putting this out there. It reminded me of Georgie Hadji's in World Cup 94.
Ooh.
I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
Because
are you going to respectfully disagree?
I'm going to, make up your mind yourself. the way he curled it with his right into the corner.
Same part of the pitch, though.
Yeah, but Hadji used his left foot, that part of the pitch. And Hadji's, some I'm still not sure if it was a cross or a shot.
Stick to penalties, mate.
Well, just
it's
saying.
It's a great goal, and it was a fantastic celebration as well.
It was, yeah, it was beautiful.
He looks a lively player, doesn't he, Esquerdo? Sometimes he's, you know, his end product isn't the best, but that was certainly end product. It was brilliant.
Yeah, well done, Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, put the Nutella down and get back into it.
Never.
Glenn Murray among the
not
goals
on this
again.
Day.
That was a nice finish as well.
It was. Glenn Murray, 34, obviously playing for a side who are playing in their first Premier League campaign. And he's got 10 goals this season. Yeah. And I love it. He's got 5 in his last 7 matches. I'm a big fan of Glenn Murray, a proper centre-forward. Yeah. And among the goals.
He's also been quite unlucky, hasn't he, with a few promotions.
And injuries as well.
With injuries that have exactly stopped him being able to really have this chance in the Premier League. And it's really nice to see him getting amongst it, as you say. Signing Leonardo Ulloa as well is a nice thing. For
very, very, very good move.
Pascal Gross got a nice one.
Yeah.
But he did get... you're a big fan of his, Luke. You were singing his praises in pre-season, I believe.
Before. I was, yeah. I thought it was a signing that at the price and given his potential and the style of football he plays, it was a massively below-the-radar signing. I thought they were very lucky to get him. Actually not lucky, very, very fortunate to get him because they obviously did their homework and he's been great all season.
5 goals and 6 assists in the Prem so far this season. Not many players, especially in the bottom half of the table, would better that.
He's the type of player who... sort of when they play really good teams away from home, he's not the sort of player who's going to have an impact on the game necessarily, I wouldn't say. Mm-hmm. And he's, what is he, 25, 26 now? So he's been around a bit. But I think he's perfect for them. I imagine he's very popular down there because he contributes and he's got a little bit of the X factor about him. And he pops up with a goal or so here and there. And I think he's by far the biggest assist maker in the... In the team, and given that David Proper is there as well, and he got a lot more press, didn't he?
Well, and Knockhart as well is in the side, who's been such a hero for them in recent seasons.
Yeah.
Do we think the Seagulls are going to stay up? It's hard to predict, isn't it? It's
a
very congested,
very, very difficult one this season because, as I know, we're sort of going to discuss later. One thing that's really conspicuous by its absence this year is a whipping boy. You know, because
they're all whipping each other.
Well, it's a sort of like mass flagellation festival, isn't it?
All right.
Yeah,
but I they've got every chance, but it's tough to sort of pick out a favourite to stay up or a favourite to go down in some places.
even teams like Swansea are starting to pick up points.
Well, exactly.
How did this happen? Yeah, you were nailed on.
Don't West Brom play Chelsea next up? And I think
we're going to talk about West Brom.
Cut adrift, but it's a mug's game trying to predict what's going to happen. The only angle you could say is perhaps at Huddersfield, they've lost a load of games in a row.
They're falling.
They're struggling. You wonder where their quality is, especially in terms of scoring goals. But Brighton have got every chance. They're right in the mix-up. And if you're a promoted team, if you're in the mix-up in February, March, that's all you can ask for, really.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious who's going to win the league. I think we can all agree on that. But they got a point at Turf Moor. I say they got a point. They dropped 2, really, in the context of it. Burnley got a hard-earned point, though. Manchester City players, who knows where they are at time of recording? Pep Guardiola's given them a few days off, and he said they can go anywhere.
I love
it. They can do anything. Basically, the club's doors have just been locked shut. Mm. Everyone take 3 or 4 days, whatever it is. And I suppose, really, when you look at it, they desperately need that. It makes sense because the football they've been playing and how well they've been playing it and the quantity of football, firing on all cylinders in all competitions, they need a bloody rest. And Kevin De Bruyne said he felt like shit.
Did he?
Partial to a swear word.
He's quite frank, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
My favourite video clip of the whole year was him, I think it's with Fabian Delph or something, where he goes... he's taking a picture, or it looks like he's taking a selfie of him and his friend, and his friend doesn't realise that it's a video. And he goes, "Say something, it's a video!" And he sounds like a member of some townsfolk in Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
He sounds like...
That's a lot of chocolate!
Based on that impression, he sounds like Her Lip from League of Gentlemen. We're talking about fantastic goals this weekend. I think one that's maybe perhaps gone underappreciated is Goodmanson's finish.
I thought you were going to say Danilo's.
No, Danilo's was great, obviously great. But Goodmanson's, quite late in the game, coming in at pace on the half volley against probably the best goalkeeper in the league, is a pretty good effort.
But that's what I was going to say, is we know what Edison's capable of, and he made a superb save early on. Therefore... With his capabilities, should he have saved that good one?
That save. I mean, I'm talking the sat here as someone who went to go see Cirque du Bloody Soleil last night.
Now you're talking.
And that save beggared belief.
Yeah.
It was that wouldn't have been out of place with the chaps over at the Cirque.
See, I like this whole holiday thing that Guardiola's starting to give the players. It almost looks like he's toying with the idea of trying to lose the league. Like, let's just drop loads of points. Let Jose think that, you know, actually maybe you'll get back in, and they go, nah, and just race away again at the end.
Are you going to be back for the next game? Might be.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Might just take a 3-0 defeat.
Yeah. I know. Might put a youth team out without a bench.
Imagine if they were so knackered. He threw the next couple of games, took the deduction of 3 points, and then they still handsomely won the league.
Yeah.
It would be disgraceful. It would be. But was it as disgraceful as not putting that extra substitute on the bench? Gary Neville was very offended by that.
I found this very, very strange. And the reason I found it strange is because I thought, as soon as I heard about it, I thought, there's something not quite right there. I did a bit of cursory research.
Of course you did.
Is there any other type on this show? Probably not. And I found out that the under-23s played the night before. Mm. So Guardiola wants to take responsibility for managing their recovery and didn't want to put one of them on the bench for, admittedly, a short trip, but a trip nonetheless. And two, I found out fairly quickly that they wanted to take a risk with David Silva, knowing there's a chance he might not make it, and if he didn't, they'd be a player short on the bench. Guardiola's comments are a little bit odd, but other than that, I mean, that's really the size of it. And people went to absolute town on it. And when you couple that with this chat we're having about the referees, it's almost like the mainstream media and perhaps maybe even a lot of fans on Twitter and all the rest of it, they want to talk about everything else other than actual football.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Why are you so desperate to get offended by it?
I thought it was a shame because I thought it was a good game at Turf Moor. Two very contrasting styles.
Burnley were very good, yeah.
Burnley worked so well. Dyche's comments after the game saying, you know, we have to keep our shape. We don't dominate too many games. You can't be all about glory. Not when you're us. You have to do the ugly stuff, but we still have some fine quality, and we showed that with the goal. He's completely spot on, Dyche. He's a realist, but he also punches above his weight in footballing terms, of course, and they did that superbly well. But Man City still played a great game. If it weren't for Raheem Sterling's miss, they'd have probably won the game. There's plenty of narrative in the game. Edison, as we talked about, the two great goals. I wonder if, going back to an earlier point, if Guardiola was a British manager, would they make the most of that kind of six?
I've read that we've said all the time.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but do you know what we should do? We should get foreign referees in. Yeah. Because if people are going mad at the decisions now, they'll be going apoplectic.
Foreign drugged referees.
Now you're talking.
What about a lot of foreign players as well?
Come on, mate.
What?
You'll just get loads of dives.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cash kicker balls.
We didn't even talk about Harry Kane. Was it a dive or not? But we've moved on from that.
Or Dele Alli's dive.
Well, no, that was a dive.
A bit more of that in the summer.
Yeah,
exactly. This is it. He's showing us the repertoire. All the reasons he might get sent off. An English player getting sent off for diving in a World Cup. Imagine that.
What will the Sun do? They were like, I don't know what to say.
Well, poor old Gareth Southgate. He'll just think it's like a sin bin or something, won't he? Watching some American sports. Yeah. He'll be on in a minute. No, Gareth, it doesn't work like that. Right, we're going to go for a little break after this.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
See Wayne getting involved. I saw him last week slapping a wrestler. I'm thinking, why is he getting involved in all that nonsense?
Because we're not going for a break after that. We went for a break during that.
Shall we have a 2-second break now? There we go.
Bailed you out there, and these spells.
I'll tell you what, he really has. But Kevin De Bruyne will be feeling more refreshed after that. Will we be refreshed after some correspondence with Pierre Donaldson?
It's a video.
Unlikely.
Depressed,
rude,
maybe.
Don't be rude.
What have you got for us, Petey?
Ned in York. Hi, chaps. I was disappointed to hear on the preview show that basically footballs at the highest level are worth much more than their weight in gold, meaning that the expression is no longer useful. I like that. It's a praise of what went before. And now we can dive into his email proper. So I looked at the recent transfers and some more valuable commodities, and here's what I found. This is going to run and run, isn't it? New Watford keeper Pontus Dahlberg actually is worth his weight in gold, almost exactly. Augusto Fernandez has moved from Atleti to the Chinese Super League. He's worth his weight in rhino horn.
We don't encourage that.
No. Hector Moreno, if you don't encourage this. Hector Moreno has just moved from Roma to Sociedad, and he's worth his weight in heroin. Moving from Juve to Scassuolo, fullback Porro Lirola is worth his weight in methamphetamine. And perhaps the most satisfying of all, Kyle Walker is worth exactly his weight in crack. All the best, Ned.
the appropriately named Ned.
Yeah, I like that, Ned. Phil Wilson in Hull. This is lovely. Having just got back from a trip to Vietnam, I thought I'd share this picture I took of a Vietnamese football TV show. They clearly know their stuff when it comes to soccer literature. As you'll notice, there's a book in the foreground of this shot, which is wonderful. I'll show you this now. Can you see a particular football book at the front on
the Football Ramble?
National Vietnamese television?
The football ramble book.
I mean,
you literally can't buy that in a bookshop on Piccadilly. How's he got it?
In the same week that my mate sent me a picture of a Football Ramble book, water damaged in a charity shop. We're on national television.
It's more in line with where I expect to see.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And we'll sign that if you send it into us.
We're on national.
Probably already have signed it.
I mean, it does look low rent. At least the guy's wearing a watch. He looks a bit like he's knocking on your door talking about God.
So, Pete, can I just confirm that is the same five-star reviewed, really brilliantly received, critically acclaimed Football Ramble book that's still now available on Amazon?
Yes, yeah. I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Still in print, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Amazon.co.uk. Yeah.
Any more, Pete? Is that it?
No, I think it's good. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved.
Wonderful.
To be fair, Pete, that was quality and not quantity.
I like to keep it succinct sometimes.
Well done to the listeners. That's finally right. Stepping up their game.
Absolutely.
I stopped looking at the emails after two emails, to be honest. So that's
did you? Right, yeah, you just got lucky then.
As if any of us didn't know that was the case.
Right then, let's move on to the Premier League, or back to the Premier League. Arsenal's two new boys, they had a lovely time against Everton. As did Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, it was great.
It was nice to see Arsenal having a good time.
Beautiful,
with some new signings.
It's good, Jim, because they've solved a lot of their problems, because they always had real problems scoring goals before, didn't they?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think, though, you know, going back to what we were saying last week about the transfer window for Arsenal, I mean, it's certainly been a strange one, but I don't think they're particularly worse off. You know, the problems that haven't been addressed are obviously still going to be problems, but, you know, based on that performance, both Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang have hit the ground running, and it's great. I also think Mkhitaryan obviously got three assists, which is as many as Sanchez had for Arsenal all season, is perhaps going to ease some of the burden on Ozil as well, which is nice. Because again, that's been the problem, isn't it?
You know,
at the top.
You know, I've got like a reputation to uphold about hating Arsenal, even though I actually don't. Do you mind if I say that Everton were absolutely shit?
Oh, no. Everton certainly played their part in what was a very enjoyable afternoon for me.
Everton played their part in what is the continuing lowering of expectations by Sam Allardyce about what to expect.
See, I wonder about this, because Allardyce was fuming after the game, wasn't he? Just absolutely furious. And I wonder, we've said before, he's probably the best squad of players he's had, sort of the most talented
squad.
It's a
£250 million squad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are they bored already of his methods? Are those players just going, this is not for me?
They're in terrible nick. I mean, even their win against Leicester wasn't that great.
Seldom do you hear a manager say that his team played crap, which is what Allardyce
actually said.
A lot of swearing.
No, De Bruyne would be far more ruder than that. But it is a strange one with Allardyce. I mean, they're not on a good run of form. He kind of went in and sorted it out. But do you think that with Allardyce, whereas you take the example when he went into Palace, he was saying this is going to take a long time to sort out.
Yeah.
And he eventually got them out of the relegation scrap towards the end of the season, and they obviously survived. That's what he's used to. He's used to taking a while to turn the ship round. It's like a big oil tanker. Whereas he's on a much nippier craft at the moment. And so he's turned it round quite quickly because they are a talented squad. Now he's a bit like, what do we do from here?
I just think this perhaps maybe goes halfway to answering the question about would a manager like Sam Allardyce do well at a big team? And And Everton are a big team. Obviously not the very biggest team, but they are a big team. And when he came in, we saw him take over. Do you remember he took over, I think, the day after they beat West Ham 4-0? But he was sat in the stands. And then after that, they didn't lose a game until...
That's what I mean. He sorted it out quite quickly.
But what you said at the top of this, which is about a comment perhaps on the ideas or lack of ideas that perhaps he has with those players at his disposal, I think it's helpful to think of Allardyce as an arch pragmatist, really.
Yeah.
But the expectation before Koeman, you know, had a bit of a nightmare at the start of the year was very, very high. And now he's almost tempering everyone to the point where they're going to be happy. Well, Everton fans won't be happy, but it will go unnoticed, really, more broadly, if Everton finish about 11th. They finished 7th last season.
Well, this is it, though, isn't it?
And they spent £200 million.
Well, the expectation keeps changing because Allardyce had a very, you know, good impact very quickly, got them away from the relegation zone, which is what they were worried about. That was the context of him coming in. So now, you know, that seems like, oh, great, we've salvaged something from a terrible season. But and now people are thinking, well, why aren't they shooting up the league? It's like every week the expectation is different.
Well, Marcus talks about the ship kind of metaphor, but I mean... It's Theseus' ship, isn't it? Where they've replaced every last person in that ship. Is it even the same ship? They've spent so much money on that goddamn squad.
Trigger's
it's crazy.
It's a good ship.
It's a good ship. Why change it?
Well, they're only 7 points above 18th. They've lost 4 out of their last 6. Now, I don't think for a second Everton are going to go down.
No.
But when you look at how tight it is down there, Everton, when Allardyce took over and they started winning, you know, we said, oh, blimey, we thought the season was a write-off. They're into the top half now. Can they kick on? A bit like what Leicester are doing under Puel, although they've had one or two sloppy results, of course.
Yeah, but I think it's a fair analogy.
But now you just sort of think, oh, yeah, you're right. What is going on? That was Allardyce's 500th Premier League match as a manager. This was a nice stat from the BBC. Only Harry Redknapp, with 238, has lost more games than him in the Premier League's competition.
It's not that old adage, isn't it? You can prove anything with stats.
Of course. I mean, they've both been managing a long time.
And a lot of the clubs he's managed have been fairly lucky to be in the Premier League, and he's done well to keep them there. And I'm not saying he's not been a good manager over time. I just think this is probably a job too far for him. It's the wrong fit with the players he's got and the money that's been spent. And I'd be very surprised if he's there beyond the summer, given that Marco Silva, who they wanted in the first place, is now available. I thought they were absolutely abject against Arsenal, really, really poor. There was speaking of stats, I think there was a stat in that game at half-time that Everton had about 1% possession. I've made that bit up. Yeah. But the most important stat is that they made 3 tackles between them in the entire half.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, so when you think of a Sam Allardyce team, that's not what you expect.
But with that point in mind, can you blame Allardyce fully? I mean, that's surely the players.
Yeah, absolutely. But
his job is to motivate the players to fulfil a brief or a game plan, which they clearly haven't done.
Mm. But Arsenal were very good as well and swarmed all over them. They didn't really give them the chance to sort of get into the game. They were 3-0 down after, what was it, like about 20 minutes? So it's, you know.
Yeah, they were good.
The game just went away from them. It was a little bit shell shocked, I think.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, indeed. Is it good news for Everton that Ademola Lookman has started his loan move at RB Leipzig with quite emphatic start?
Well, a lovely one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this was after Allardyce sort of disapproved of his move, saying, well, he's not going to get much game time there and so on. And yet he comes on and scores the only goal of the game. And it makes a great impact. I became the first Englishman to score in the Bundesliga since Owen Hargreaves in 2005.
That's brilliant. Do you remember the suspicion of Owen Hargreaves? When he first sort of burst onto the international scene.
He used to get booed for England all the time.
He did, absolutely. And I hope the fact that both Lookman and Sancho are out there will kind of change that a little bit. I think that them both being there is probably a good thing. I think we need these little, you know, encampments of players, like, just in different leagues.
We respect the Bundesliga a lot more than we ever did, though, to be fair.
That's true. probably not, before we move on to West Brom, but was was Rihanna, her attendance in the crowd, a lucky charm for Arsenal, Jim? People have said that, or is that a load of nonsense?
Yeah, they always play well when she's there.
Okay.
There was a great clip. My spirit animal for the whole weekend was her going, I'm a gooner. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm a gooner.
Wenger's probably letting her train at Colney. He lets everyone
else. Hey! Well, West Brom are still bottom of the league. Now, the little chat that we had in the first part of this football ramble that you are listening to, ladies and gentlemen, we said that obviously it's quite congested and there aren't any whipping boys. But if there are, West Brom have got to be very careful that they don't become it, because they are the number one candidate for whipping boy status. Losing at home to Southampton, that's a blow. Southampton won their first match since November. They look better. But West Brom, they've got to be careful because you can easily get in a downward spiral, of course, which is why that Southampton win was so crucial. It takes them out of the relegation zone. They're now 15th. The encouragement that gives to the squad as well is enormous.
I thought the difference in West Brom when Krakowiak's in the team and when he isn't was remarkable. I mean, he's played really well recently. He was excellent against Brighton, really good against Everton, then good against Liverpool again. He picked up a thigh strain, so he missed the Southampton game. And Jakob in there with Barry, to me, doesn't look anywhere near as solid. Of course, Ward-Prowse played very well. I mean, with Ward-Prowse, you think he really needed to add goals to his game, and now he's done that. His dead ball delivery is fantastic. And it was a good win for Southampton, a much-needed win. But West Brom, they don't score enough goals. Sturridge, fine, might take a bit of a while to get going. But it's worrying for them, really worrying.
Yeah, they're relying a lot on Daniel Sturridge now, and old Pards has said that he'll give him special treatment to get the best out of him. And he also said he'll make sure he's fit and fresh for the World Cup because he said he could be an important player for England, and I want England to do one. And I think...
Not up to you.
I did think to myself, okay, I sort of admire that on some level, Mr. Pardew, but stick with the task in hand you've got. I think West Brom fans won't want to hear any of that kind of chat.
And also, you've got to ask questions about the job that Pardew's doing there because he started very poorly and we're used to seeing him do well. If you look at a prospective front six for West Brom, well, Chris Brunt laid on 2 assists in that game. He's still playing very... He's a good player. His left foot...
Provides a lot of assists.
His left foot's a wand.
Yes.
But Phillips on the right, who's a good
solid
operator.
Player.
Yeah. You have Barry and Krakowiak in the middle who have both shown themselves to be decent.
Yeah.
And you can have Sturridge up front with Rodriguez with Rondon coming on.
Now, I mean, not a bad...
Exactly. I know Rondon started
three
the
players to choose from, yeah.
I know Rondon, I think, started the game and obviously he scored as well, but that's not bad.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
It's not bad. So they should really be doing an awful lot better than they actually are.
One win in their last 24.
It's terrible.
League
games.
It's
nowhere
near piss poor.
Yeah,
it
absolutely
really is.
But yeah, I mean, we talked about the whipping boys thing earlier, but it's been so tight down there. They've just slipped in a kind of surprising way. But they're 4 points off Huddersfield in 19th. Like that is dire. Mm. What's he doing, Pards?
I know, but we've got to mention Lamina's goal for Southampton.
Yeah.
That was a satisfying one.
Was beautiful.
His first goal for them, wasn't it?
Was it really?
I think it was his first goal for them.
Oh,
yeah.
What a beauty there. There were some real good hits on the weekend.
Yeah, Bufal kicking off before the free kick was a funny one as well. It's always funny when a player does that and then the person that takes it scores.
Yeah, but fair play to him, though. He ran over and celebrated. Yeah. He didn't moan. Yeah. He didn't
moan. That's big of him.
Yeah,
imagine how ridiculous he would have looked if he didn't say that.
Well, okay, yeah, you make a fair point there, Luke. Yeah.
Imagine if he was just already back at the thing without going anywhere, going back to his own half. No, I'm not having it. For me, we're still losing.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go to Northern Ireland and then Russia after this.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
The Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be in your ears this Thursday early evening.
Yes, and Richard Simmons, not that one, is still in the hot seat because of the late, 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 late show.
Yes.
At Anfield at the weekend. He had over 3.5 goals, which came in. Obviously, there were 4 goals scored. He raised £125 for Prostate Cancer UK. He's going to have an opportunity to raise more money for the charity on Thursday. I was about to say more importantly than that, but it's not more important.
Yeah.
Not quite as important as that, of course.
But crucial into the process of that.
He gets to stay in the hot seat for another week and get ever closer to a first ever hat-trick on this show. So good luck to you, Richard, and I'll be looking out for your email this week.
Damn right, Richie. Damn right. Now, I promised to go to Northern Ireland. We're going to do it just now. Now, do you remember Joe Gormley, a.k.a. Joe the Goal?
Joe the Goal, yeah.
We spoke about him, I can't remember, it probably would have been about 2 years
ago. He got his move to the posh, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. He was playing at Cliftonville in Northern Ireland for a few years and smashing in the goals, hence his name, Joe the Goal. And then he got a move to Peterborough, as Luke said. Didn't work out from there, and he had bad luck with injuries. And it was a shame because going to a proper league club like Peterborough, but as I say, for various reasons, didn't work out. And then he went to St Johnstone in Scotland, didn't work out either. And I think, according to reports, he became a little bit disillusioned with football and so on. And I suppose for a man who was in his 20s, had scored a lot of goals for his local club, playing at a respectable level in Northern Ireland, going over to England and then Scotland, didn't quite work out. So he's back at Cliftonville now. And it came to my attention because he scored a hat-trick in the Cup on the weekend, and I looked at his stats. 5 goals in 7 league games a season. Jonah Goal's back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, didn't work out for him, as I say, for Peterborough and St Johnstone. But good to know he's among the goals.
He's back in where he came from.
Yeah, but he picked himself up.
He's back. He's gone back.
Well, yeah, but you know, a local cult hero is something to celebrate.
Absolutely.
It's something we see less and less of.
Yeah, and we, as I say, we spoke about him a couple of years ago, and then we're like, oh, he's managed to get a move, but injuries and one or two other things, as I said, left him a bit disillusioned with football. So to return and then go straight back into where he left off, I think it's quite nice.
Anyway, here he is. Joe, come in. He's not here.
Yeah, I
he's
was going to say, we're in England. He doesn't operate very well here.
Yeah. He wasn't on the studio, but he fucking missed
He'd walk into the door.
Now, everybody, it's 2018. We're all looking forward to the World Cup, which is just a matter of months away.
That's weird to think, isn't it?
It comes around bloody quick.
Well, because we're into February now and we've got our eyes slightly set on the business end of the Premier League. So we've got to get that out of the way. Get that flipping foregone conclusion out of the way.
Get rid.
Before we get to the main event, which is, of course, the World Cup. But we've got to be careful here because, according to reports, locusts could stand in our way of enjoying this summer's tournament. Oh, no. Now, this is because a swarm of locusts could attack pitches, thus ruining everything in Russia. This was in the press last week, of course. And according to the head of the Agricultural Ministry's Crop Farming Department, football fields are green. Locusts love it when there is a lot of green. How would they not want to come to the place where football is being played?
I absolutely love this. This guy sounds like the crank at the start of a disaster movie that's going on about locusts going to ruin everything and no one listens. And like, then he's proven right. Like, they're everywhere.
Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. he's a small actor. You know.
The locusts, they are mutating.
But the curious thing about this is a locust greatly enhanced my enjoyment of the World Cup in 2014?
James Rodriguez.
It was a grasshopper, wasn't it? Or was it?
Yeah, I don't think that was a locust.
You say potato, Jim. Yeah. Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, I mean, the Euros was invaded by moths as well. Yeah, it does happen. This guy might be onto something.
But hang on a minute. So are we saying that the last two big tournaments in European football, at least, have been affected.
Well, that was in Brazil,
wasn't it?
2014.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Involving European teams or whatever have been affected by insects.
Yeah, that's just a statement of fact.
Well, I think
the penis was seen.
When we do our whip round, our guesses, our quiz thing that we. What do we call it?
Predictions.
I don't know why I'm struggling with that.
Wow. Okay. You turn it to me for like 5 seconds.
I'm going to put one of the questions is going to be which insect is it going to be?
Yeah. It's moved on from octopuses.
Football's weird, isn't it?
Ladybirds.
It is weird, yeah. I sort of worry. I think the media have played their part in this. Now, they used to say this about football hooliganism. If there's football hooliganism, don't show it on the TV because it encourages people to get involved and all that kind of stuff. Well, we saw that thing on a James Rodriguez's arm. They didn't turn the cameras away when the moths were there. I think the insects have been encouraged by what they've seen and they're getting involved.
I can't wait to see Pep Guardiola only have 6 locusts on the bench.
Oh dear. Wow.
People go mad.
Speaking of hooliganism and pitch invaders.
We weren't talking about that.
We're talking about hooligans and they don't show
insects.
They didn't show in the Palace and Castle match, they didn't show the pitch invader. But when I saw like a Getty image of the pitch invader, he's a wonderful specimen of hooligan.
Was he?
He's so wonderful.
Describe him to us.
He looks like a lager lout. You remember in the 90s people were obsessed with like lager louts?
Yeah, yeah.
I've set his face to be our WhatsApp our WhatsApp picture. So
behind the mental curtain.
Look at him, he's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, he's actually drinking a bottle of beer.
He's drinking a bottle of beer on the pitch, which contravenes every Premier League rule.
He's got a very wet hoodie on.
To be fair, you should tweet that, because that is quite stunning.
He's something else, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've got to get his in my mouth! Ah!
There we go. Was that his theme tune?
That was his theme tune.
you just hit the music bed with your elbow.
With my
hand. What are you playing there? Give it another go. Yeah. Oh, no. Here come the hooligans!
It was a song that Northampton produced make everyone move to Northampton and make it the city of success.
Yeah, this is podcast crossover.
And it was from it was basically the idea that aliens would land in Northampton because they've got the energy that they require.
Pete, could you just fade that out for the purposes of a joke about Newcastle United?
Yeah, if you want.
Did Rafa Benitez try and sign him as a free agent?
Nah.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it, was it?
Now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for going for Glold.
Oh, don't make me press another button. Lord. It is time for Going for Glow, Max.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Did I give it last week? I think I did, didn't I?
I didn't.
Very late on, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think I got it. I think it was Darren Fletcher, wasn't it?
Very late on. This is from Yair from Los Angeles. I think I'm pronouncing the name correctly. I was born on the 5th of May, 1980. That's the mystery footballer, not Yair.
5th of May, 1980. Okay. Stop. John Terry.
Incorrect.
He was born in 1980, that sort of time.
Yeah. Why do you not say John Terry?
It's not incorrect.
I was the leading goal scorer in my age group at the famed Ajax Youth Academy as a teenager in 1996.
Stop. Patrick Kluivert.
Incorrect.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, well, I think everyone was reaching for that one.
If there's just two stops at the same time, you have to be more disciplined than that. We have to judge it.
To be fair to Jim, he knew I said that first.
Oh, he didn't do that to me. We had to flip a coin.
Controversial.
Right. Can I get one? Can I get one?
Yari Litmanen.
Incorrect, but lovely to hear.
I think he's a bit older.
Yeah, probably.
Might be.
I've played an Alan Pardew who once compared me to Zinedine Zidane, saying he's one of those players that gets you out of your seat.
Stop. Hatem Ben Arfa.
Incorrect.
Stop. Nwank Wakanu. 37, I know.
He's younger than that.
I scored 24 goals in my international career, but never played in a World Cup.
Stop. Fernandy George.
Oh, no.
He's older.
I think he played in the World Cup, didn't he? Nigeria?
Ah, you might have done, yeah.
I've played under legendary managers such as Rafa, Redknapp, Arsene Wenger, Carlo Ancelotti, Sam Allardyce, and of course, Pardew.
So you've been around a bit then. Mm. Very interesting. Go on, carry on. Oof.
I'm the only player to have scored a hat-trick in the Premier League, Champions League and FA Cup for the same club.
Oh, that's a very good start. I feel like I should know that.
Do you want to know the teams that he scored against?
Yes, please.
Burnley, Besiktas and Havant and Waterlooville.
The third one, not as impressive. Mm.
Where's Besiktas became Besiktas in the last year? Because people went, that's how you pronounce it.
Right.
You mean you did?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Shut up, Jim. You're not winning.
You wouldn't catch Andy Brassel doing that.
No.
Go on, carry on.
I played alongside Fernando Torres in his prime, Robin van Persie in his prime, as well as Didier Drogba and Carlos Tevez.
Dirk Kuyt.
Incorrect.
Oh, it's got to be Dirk Kuyt.
Never played for Arsenal.
How is it not Dirk Kuyt?
Robin van Persie.
Did Dirk Kuyt not play at a World Cup?
All right. Go on. Did you ever guess that?
Yeah, Dirk Kuyt played at a World Cup.
Did you ever guess that?
I'm going to have a guess.
You don't know.
In just a moment.
Yeah. Go on, Pete.
Stop.
Yossi Benayoun.
It's Yossi Benayoun.
Yeah! Well played, Jim.
That's genuinely very good. Well done, Jim.
Yes.
To be fair, though, you were due one. It's a very good guess.
That was very good.
In 2014, I tweeted at my former QPR teammate, Joey Barton, you've been stupid and you will stay stupid all your life. And I am Israel's most capped player of all time with 102 caps.
Is that part of the quote? Is that what you think of Joey Barton?
I think my problem is I go on like the last clue or two that I think of, whereas Jim manages to kind of see, he sees a picture in his head. Yeah.
The best players do. Yeah. Are you, Richard, are you worried about your form in this at the moment?
A little bit.
Yeah, you
little
should be.
Bit, but just a little bit.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, oh, should yeah. I?
You just need one to go off your ass, Matt.
But the thing is, though... You know, Burnley aren't too worried about their form at the moment. They're still way up there, aren't they? Because their earlier form has kept them there, and that's a bit like me.
But Burnley haven't got the quality of opposition to me and Jim.
Exactly, yeah. I've no idea who's winning. Has anyone got an idea?
I think it's probably me. Let's go.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pierre.
I'm worth my weight in yoghurt.
Goodbye from me too.
Third nipple.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right, I'm starting it. Job.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.